I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 1039 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, leading you on the Underground Railroad to a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. This is Friday, so as we do every Friday, next hour we will get into False Flag Friday. I am the watchman on the wall for foreign policy things as we are all consumed with domestic politics and ridiculousness. Lots of things going on around the world, actually. We'll talk a little bit about that next hour and then finish up with a look back at this week on the crazy train. Some of it's actually quite literal. Some people are being hauled away in paddy wagons, essentially for mental observation at the upper levels of power in this country. So we'll talk about that. Quotes of the day today. The peasant wants only to be left alone to prosper in peace. That's a Machiavelli quote. I guess that makes me the peasant, as I want to just be left alone or prosper in peace. And then the Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee's headline of the day today. No Chris Wallace to save you now. Trump ambushes Biden in alleyway to debate him. such a good publication. So, not much going on in the news these days, right? Not a lot of headlines. Anything going on out there? Oh, yeah. I think I might have heard a little something this morning, just in passing. That possibly, maybe, have they said something? Did anybody hear anything about Trump possibly having some kind of a disease? Holy cow, no. No. I guess this busts up my theory that spray tan actually protected you from coronavirus, because I've been thinking that for about 6 months now, because you would think if anybody's going to get this thing, it's going to be Donald Trump. He's around just a ton of people. He likes to do his rallies. He doesn't like the mask. So I really thought spray tan was probably going to end up to be found the prophylactic we should all be using. But no, he has been tested positive for the coronavirus. I am praying that this turns out to be a false positive, because what we need more than anything else right now is the idea of COVID tests coming back with a false positive in the headlines. I think if Trump can pull this out, we can find out that he actually tests negative in a couple of days and that it was a false positive, the media might have to cover the fact, as I've done with some health authorities I've played clips of here, that false positives can be as high as 50%. Which certainly changes the landscape of coronavirus. And we sure could use that in the headlines, but I don't know. You know, I actually forget that Donald Trump is as old as he is. I guess he's 74 years old. I don't know. There's something about Trump that is a little ageless, I will say. He's just Trump. When you watch some of his younger interviews, you realize the man has aged. But he doesn't seem to be aging the same way most presidents do. Now, I guess if you already dye your hair and you've already achieved some level, usually you see it, the graying of someone's hair. But with Donald Trump, his hair is basically, to his admirers, a flaxen blonde. But I do forget he's that old, so hopefully this is not something that turns serious for him. It would be nice to either see a mild case, but I'm really praying for a false positive, because there certainly are a lot of those out there, and we need to be talking about that at a national level. But if not, it turns out that Trump is infected with the COVIDs, I believe the only prudent step at this point is to immediately shut down the entire federal government for at least 2 years until the danger has passed. We've had people like Anthony Fauci and everybody saying that we're not going to be getting back to normal until late in 2021. I've heard some health experts say it'll be 2022 before we actually get back to normal. So I think closing the government down for the next 2 years is really the only prudent and cautious step that we can take at this point. We should also quarantine all of Washington, D.C. No politicians should be allowed to leave Washington, D.C. And I would also err on the side of caution. And I think Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci would have my back here. We should cut off all communications with all politicians and bureaucrats from Washington, D.C. for the same period of time, just in case COVID can be contracted through the airwaves, through just sound, this devious, devious disease. So shut down Washington, D.C., 2 years minimum, quarantine all politicians and cut off all communications from them. This would have to, of course, apply to the mainstream media, too. All major networks must immediately shut down and self-isolate for the next 2 years. All communications cut from the mainstream media because, after all, they have spent the last 3 years up Donald Trump's butt, and we really just cannot be too careful at this particular stage. So these would be my prescriptions for how we carry forward, and it would probably be best for the entire country should we take my advice. They did say Mike Pence has tested negative. Now, this is a little interesting to me. Only regular listeners to this show understand why Mike Pence has tested negative for corona and why we know, as part of the Mike Madison family, we alone know that Mike Pence is immune to coronavirus because he is only part human. He is our first cyborg president. And being only part human, biological being, he is therefore immune to any disease that affects us full human beings. So there is nothing to worry about there. We are the only ones that know that, but you can take some comfort in the idea that he will not be coming down with the disease. I've seen all kinds of, the theories are floating around. This was sent to, who was Hope Hicks around? Hope Hicks gave it to Donald Trump. Who was Hope Hicks around? So people will be trying to track that down. Really, I can't even think. I should have left up some of my screens, some of the comment sections, to go through all of the different theories that are floating around with why Donald Trump has COVID. It's obviously lost on everybody that Boris Johnson over in the UK had COVID, Louis Gohmert had COVID, Rand Paul had COVID. Now, some of them are younger. I don't know how old Boris Johnson is. So Donald Trump is older, and he is overweight. They reported Donald Trump's weight this morning, I believe, at 236 or 244, something along that lines, around 240, 6'3", 240. Come on. Come on. That kind of stuff kind of bugs me. I don't know. That's a level of vanity to that. He's obviously heavier than that. But anyway, we will see. Exactly what comes of it. I'm most distressed by the fact he has COVID just for the gloating on the left. Obviously, a lot of the blue checkmark liberals have taken to Twitter to hope that he dies and to laugh about this thing. And here is, again, as an observer of this entire thing, because I do not play the two-party politics. I'm not in anybody's tribe. I don't need a team. Both teams are disingenuous, to say the very least. It is funny to me to watch the left, the loving left. They proclaim themselves the loving left, all about peace, love, and harmony, and acceptance, and tolerance, and they are taking to Twitter. They'll be all over the airwaves wanting Donald Trump to die. Serves him right, all of these things. And then on the other side of that, conservatives and Trump supporters will clutch their pearls. Oh, can you believe they're saying such a thing? Yet we do know if Nancy Pelosi were to come down with COVID, there would be plenty of conservatives out there saying, good, that old hag needs to go. We are all so easily offended, even though when our side has the upper hand, we all pounce right now. This is the United States as it exists these days. A mass mental breakdown we are seeing. But anyway, obviously everybody will be closely following. I don't know what this means yet for debates. It was funny. I thought I had found a story. I thought I was going to break a story today because I heard a clip at the very beginning of the debate the other night. A guy came on stage to talk about the auditorium where they had the presidential debate at that Case Western University. They share that building with the Cleveland Clinic, and the guy at the beginning came in and said that, that the room you're sitting in right now was transferred into an emergency 1,000-bed COVID unit. And I was thinking, oh, well then, they had a presidential debate with two geriatrics in a COVID Ward. No wonder Donald Trump's come down with COVID, and maybe Joe Biden will be next. But then I listened to the clip of him talking about that and realized he said it was never used. Another one of these 1,000-bed emergency centers for the surge that never came. So that wasn't the case. Anyway, be interesting news, interesting weekend. The markets took a bit of a dive. They'll recover quickly because when they realize that the Federal Reserve is still alive and doing fine, and that's really that all that matters to the stock market. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the economic numbers today before Donald Trump stepped all over my show prep with his diagnosis of COVID. I've got plenty of interesting things to take a look at financially. They've reported that the unemployment rate has come down to 7.9%. it's amazing what they think they can tell us. I don't know. We'll look at all that more when we come back. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
The big headline on Drudge today is Virus Nightmare Rocks Election. We are such a hyperbolic people. Everything is so important. He's got mild symptoms of something that could just manifest itself as some level of a cold or a flu. If it gets serious, then serious headlines might be warranted. But Virus Nightmare Rocks Election. Everything is so important. I mean, everything has to be. This is my big beef with Fox News. Everything is breaking news. Every single thing is a Fox News alert. We have to always be on alert for whatever it could be the most inane headline ever, the most ridiculous or inconsequential story. It's got to get a Fox News alert. All of the mainstream does that, but apparently that's been kind of Fox's thing. I think the quote yesterday was, you know, governments have got to keep people alarmed. That's the main thing. You got to keep everybody, you know, kind of back on their heels, always scared of something, or they might calm down a little bit, and we might finally figure out the con job that's been run on us, which I'm going to explain to you in just a second here. There's also headlines. I guess one of Melania's. I don't know. I watched the clip this morning. Melania going after Christmas. It is one of the silliest things I've ever seen. It's somebody taped a conversation. I mean, what a scumbag to befriend somebody like that and then release a tape of a frustrated Melania Trump when she's talking about how horrible the media is to her. And she makes such a great point, which is I can really appreciate. She says, who the hell cares about the Christmas decorations? I mean, they've got real things going on in the world. And they're telling her, as First Lady, she needs to take care of the Christmas decorations. And at that particular time, she didn't really care about that. There are actually real things going on. And anyway, they're turning this into Melania Trump is disparaging Christmas. I got to say, I feel sorry for that woman. She was leading such a great life. she really had it all going on. She's absolutely just stunningly gorgeous, just very exotic looking. Melania Trump, very, very pretty woman. She seems nice. Now, I'm always aware of what public perception can be different. Look at Ellen. Melania Trump could be a holy terror behind the scenes, but I've never gotten that impression. She seems very calm. She seems very friendly. She seems very sweet. And she had such a good life and got thrust into this ridiculous position they've put her in. Anyway, as I said, the unemployment rate has come in. It's ticked down now, supposedly, to 7.9%. I'm waiting. My sources on what real things are, like real numbers, are there's a guy that Wolf Richter does a site called wolfstreet.com. If you're all interested in financial markets, you probably already know about it. But if you're interested. It's very technical. It's kind of a trader's site, but Wolf Street, he does a good deep dive into unemployment numbers. He hadn't put his story out yet, but we'll find. Let me just assure you of this. The real unemployment rate in the United States is not anywhere near 7.9%. That is with all kinds of adjustments and seasonal adjustments and all kinds of massaging of the data. Unemployment rate on shadow stats for one of the more accurate measures, which is the U6 number, has us probably around 14 to 15%, which is probably much more accurate. But anyway, headlines yesterday, Americans burn through a staggering $724 billion in annualized savings in August as stimulus fades. Because America has become hooked, and I'm gonna play a story in just a little bit, a clip of an NBC story from last night. Americans are now hooked on, I'm telling you, most shows are all about the front door. We're out there trying to beat back the communists and the socialists on the left because they're coming at us from the Bernie Sanders and the Joe Bidens and the AOCs of the world, and every show is focused out that front door. I'm the only one sitting by the back door going, there's all of these things that you're scared of out front where all the stuff's going. It's just creeping right in the back door. And we have got millions of Americans are divesting themselves of savings that they only incurred in the first place because of juiced up unemployment benefits and a bunch of government stimulus that went out. The government flooded the economy with money in the enhanced unemployment. They sent out $1,200 checks. They sent businesses that didn't even need any help during the pandemic. They sent them a bunch of money. And so people took it in, spent it. The savings rate went up during this time. And now it's going back down. Why? Well, because the benefits are running out. Because the government has not still got the spigots open to get money into the hands of the American people. But don't worry. Just because the American citizen is losing, there are winners. As Joseph Carson, former chief economist at Alliance Bernstein, writes, every recession has unique features, but this is one for the record books. According to the GDP report released on Wednesday, operating profits for the retail trade sector hit a record high in the second quarter of this year. Now think about the second quarter. That's April through June. What was going on? The entire country was shut down. Tens of millions of Americans within the span of about 6 weeks lost their job. Over 50 million people have filed for unemployment. How is it possible that records were set by retailers in Q2? Well, BEA said record earnings from large retailers, Walmart, Amazon, and Home Depot were responsible for this record-setting gain. So let me translate that for you. Let me recap exactly what your loving government has done to you over the past 6 months at both the federal level and the local levels here. This is your state governments, your mayors, and the federal government. They shut down by force. And recognize that everything the government does is by force. We don't like to really think of it that way, but we have to take it to that extreme. They issue the orders, but it is always backed up by a badge and a gun. If you disregard the orders, if you are not in compliance, they will send an officer of the state to your business or to your home. They will present themselves with a badge, and if you do not comply at that point, they will present the gun. So the government shut down by force small mom-and-pop retailers and restaurants. They forced anyone that they deemed unessential to shut down their way of life, their way of living. They scared the crap out of everybody and destroyed tens of millions of jobs and tens of thousands of small businesses. And then they juiced up unemployment benefits for the unemployed and gave everybody $1,200 that you could only spend at their favored, their chosen essential businesses, Walmart, Amazon, and Home Depot. Now, there's some other, Lowe's. The government actually flooded money into the economy, forced businesses that could have received some of that money, your mom and pop shops, and even some major retailers got crushed in this whole debacle too. And that money squeezed like it came through some kind of a funnel. They crammed money in the wide end of the funnel, and it all squeezed out in a very narrow stream to the largest Wall Street retailers because they were deemed essential. It is an absolutely stunning chain of events. record retail sales in the second quarter because the government gave a bunch of people a bunch of money to spend, but only allowed them to spend it at these big Wall Street firms. My heart just breaks for the small business owners. They reported yesterday they think that half of New York City's restaurants will close, restaurants and bars, half of them. And then there was this story as well. How badly is COVID-19 hurting Americans on the cusp of retirement? Maybe worse than we thought. In an interview, economist Teresa Gilducci, that's a tough name. I probably really butchered that one. But a professor at the New School in New York City and one of the nation's leading experts on retirement told that half of Americans aged 55 and up will retire in poverty or near poverty. Quote, our data showing that because of the COVID-19 recession, about 60% of workers over the age 55 will be poor or near poor adults when they retire at 50, when they reach 65, she said. Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, do you even hear any of this kind of news to understand exactly what you have wrought? Do you even understand these things? Or are you so myopic, so blinded by your desire to reduce all risk in society around this COVID stuff? Your hysteria is impoverishing people at a record pace. Even if you had saved lives with the ridiculous masks and lockdown, which Sweden is showing us you really did not, even if that had been the case, what was the cost? And that is the problem with making these big draconian measures that we've had at the local, state, and federal level, is that they do not look at the other cost. And I mean, they are starting to stack up. The problem is that a lot of people saw this stuff coming from the very first issuance of some stay-at-home, shelter-in-place orders. We knew this was happening. But at the time when it first happened, we at least said, well, we don't really know what we're dealing with. But within about 2 months, most of us knew what we were dealing with as far as the disease went. And yet they refused to change course. Back in March, they declared a Category 5 storm of COVID. We found out it was a Category 1 or maybe just a tropical storm, and to some large demographics, the young and the healthy, it is nothing more than a tropical depression at the most and probably just an average thunderstorm. And yet they continued to report it and act like it was some kind of a Category 5 event. Now half of Americans 55 and over will retire in poverty. Thanks, Thomas Dobbs. Thanks, Anthony Fauci. Stellar job. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you...
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I don't know what else to say about Trump having COVID. It's annoying to me more than anything else, to be honest with you. I think he'll be just fine. It would be interesting to see him come out with a success story of hydroxychloroquine. Of course, I would like to see him have a success story. He says, oh, yeah, we loaded up on vitamin D, vitamin C, some zinc, and some quercetin, and oh, we sailed right through it. Wouldn't that be nice? A good case study at the tippy top to show that there are ways, natural ways, to fight this, but I do not hold my breath. I do not hold my breath for that particular scenario. It sounds like the chairman of the GOP has gotten it too. Her name is Rana, so I don't know what she expected. Of course, she's going to get the Rona. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, Mike. Thank you.
Hey.
So one of the things I'm wondering about, you know, very early in the COVID stage for Trump, and a lot of people start off, you know, with, you know, mild symptoms, and then it progresses really. And after a couple of days, and sometimes you can feel like you're getting better, and then you take a turn for the worse. So I feel like it is pretty early in the situation for him, but it's good to hear that it is mild.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good opportunity because it would normalize COVID that, you know, no one has really done yet. You know, Chris Cuomo has publicized his COVID diagnosis, and he painted it to be, you know, one of the worst things since, I don't know, Michael Myers from Halloween.
Right, right,
so
yeah.
I think if Trump can lick it and get through it, and it would be even better if it was a false positive.
Yeah,
well,
I would love
that
a
would
false
also
positive.
Inform the country as well that, you know, these false positives are running rampant.
Yeah, oh, I believe so, too. I mean, I played a clip the other day with the One Health Authority. I can't remember. Oh, it was in Canada. One of their top people in Ontario said, we don't test all of our teachers because the false positives on these things are about 50%. So that, I would love to see that hit the headlines. That would be, you know, I might even give credit to Donald Trump for some kind of a genius move if he pulled this, you know, where he tests positive and then he exposes it as a false positive in a couple of days. That would be a nice plan.
Exactly, and if he is able to beat this, and you know, it's more or less outed as a you know, different kind of a cold or something like that.
Right.
If you have a really bad comorbidity, then I think that would be something very positive. And I was thinking also, you know, Bush 43 invoked the 25th Amendment on a pretty casual basis when he was getting a colonoscopy and. So he did that twice, so I halfway expect Trump to do this as well if he's going to try to recover somehow. I'm not sure, but...
Oh, gosh, I don't want to say... I really don't. You know, someone emailed me the other day and said, why are you so hard on Mike Pence? And it's not... You know, I've always thought he was an establishment player, was kind of an odd pick for Donald Trump. God knows he seems loyal, but I just believe he's part cyborg, and I do not want to be under my first robot overlord, because I don't know how the guy's been programmed, so I'm hoping that that doesn't take place.
Yeah, I don't see him giving up that power too easily, too. I've always felt like he has a kind of a creepy side to him, that he would be trying to pull an LBJ on Trump in some way. But
yeah,
I also think it's interesting how the state of Mississippi allows us to basically participate in a lottery. They're conning us from a gambling standpoint openly, and you know, there are no laws preventing me from going out and destroying myself in a number of ways, whether it's my horrible diet or, you know, if someone wants to go out and drink a million, you know, beers that night. There's really nothing that prevents them from making these life decisions.
Right.
But yet we're banning a cold, basically.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And no one is allowed to get a cold ever. And earlier I sneezed, and I was thinking, oh, that's the equivalent of soiling myself now in public.
Right. You don't want to do that in the grocery store. People will actually hit the floor.
Exactly. I've never felt more dangerous than when I sneeze, even by myself in my car. So I think maybe some good things will come out of this, but I'm always reminded of that movie, Jack Nicholson, where he said that one part where he's like, maybe this is as good as it gets. And I feel like every day is just getting worse and worse.
I know, seriously.
As good as it gets.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it is not. I am pessimistic right now, but always looking for offshoots of optimism somewhere. They're just getting harder and harder to find.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your show. Love what you do, and it's definitely helped me think about things in a different way. So I appreciate you.
Perfect. That's exactly what I want to hear. Thanks so much. I appreciate the call.
Take care.
You too. Bye bye. The only thing I can say about, you know, coughing or something like that in the grocery store or having a sneeze will move you up in a line. You know, Walmart's notorious for their long lines. I find a few well placed coughs, and you were straight to the front of the line. Let me see if I can go ahead and play this clip. I wanted to play this. They did a story last night, and I'm talking a little bit of economic stuff here. because I'm sorry, I just find myself watching the entire U.S. financial system completely transform itself, and nobody's paying any attention to it. I'm like Big Bird and Snuffleupagus. I'm like the only person that sees this creature all the time, and no one else is really paying attention. Oh, yeah, whatever. Do people remember that reference? Is that dating me right there? Mr. Snuffleupagus was this, what I remember, something along the lines of a woolly mammoth. I believe he was purple, if I recall correctly. Maybe I'd had too much cough syrup when I was a child. I don't know. But I remember this. Big Bird would see this Mr. Snuffleupagus, and he would ask everybody if they'd seen this giant beast, and nobody else saw it. Mr. Snuffleupagus always shuffled off the stage or out of the scene right before any of Big Bird's friends came around. And he thought he was just going crazy because no one else could see it. Well, that's how I feel about our economy right now, is that we have got everything going based on transfer payments right now. And this was a story last night about the airlines and the tragic story of the airline workers. Look, I'm an airline brat. My father did 35 years with Delta Airlines. Delta Airlines put food on my table and let me see the world when I was a child. I'm a big fan of Delta Airlines, of the airlines in general, and of airline employees. I used to spend my summers crawling all through and running around the Jackson Airport. When I got to go to work with my dad, it was thrilling. I love the airlines. Big fan. But they are a business. I am also a capitalist. I want you to listen to this story as they talk about the plight of all these workers. I think that 45,000 people are at risk of being furloughed right now from the airlines. My heart breaks for every single person who loses a job for any reason, including people not during COVID, last year and the year before that, and every year for the last 250 years in the United States. Someone started a business and it failed for one reason or another. I feel bad for them. They went out there and they did something. The economy is brutal. Free markets are brutal. Capitalism can be brutal, but it's also beautiful and the best system there is out there. We're losing that. Listen to this.
The waiting game has been unbearable for Tiana Davenport.
The anxiety then turned into disappointment, turned into dread, turned into worry as to what am I to do now?
She is among at least 32,000 airline workers now out of work as Democrats and the White House struggle to reach a deal on COVID relief. After two major surgeries, Tiana fears losing her health insurance altogether, set to expire, she says, at year's end.
What was the most difficult part of this wait for you?
I never imagined myself in this position, and I'm pretty sure many Americans don't.
Now she is desperately looking to Washington.
Ding, 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 ding. I'm telling you, this is how everything is going. Everybody is looking to Washington for everything. Again, I will tell you, as you listen to this story, remember that last year, U.S. airlines that are asking for these giant bailouts spent 96% of their free cash flow. That means money they had to make a decision on what to do with. They didn't need it for operations. They had this money laying around. They used 96% of that money to buy back their own stock, to juice their stock's performance so executives could reap massive financial rewards. And that was not the only year. For several years now, and not just airlines, other big corporations that are getting these bailouts have been doing exactly the same thing. Hell, the cruise lines don't even pay taxes in the U.S. None of them are domiciled in the U.S. And they're lining up for U.S. bailouts. Anyway, look, this woman's it's a sad story. I feel bad for her, particularly if she's medically vulnerable and going to lose her insurance. That can be frightening for anybody. I'm not here to insult any one human being. It is what we now expect. They don't look to the management of the airlines to fix the situation. They're looking to Washington.
On the table, a White House aid package worth more than $1.5 trillion, including money for unemployment insurance, rent and mortgage assistance, and COVID testing. But House Democrats say that...
You got the government paying rent now for people. Cash and rent. Well, except when the CDC, again, out of Washington, D.C., well, I guess they're headquartered in Atlanta, aren't they? But another federal agency just overwhelmingly just told all landlords in the country, you cannot evict anybody. The CDC somehow has issued an order. It has now been challenged in court. Thankfully, landlord associations are now suing the CDC. We have a federal bureaucracy, unelected people at the CDC. Executive orders are bad enough. Congress doing unconstitutional things is bad enough. Now you've got an unelected bureaucracy at the CDC that just made a proclamation a few weeks ago that said, we've got a form, and if you print off this form and take it to your landlord, you don't have to pay your rent for the rest of this year. And now we've got the federal government, for those who might be still having to pay rent, well, the federal government will step up and pay your rent, too. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's looking out the front door at Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and AOC. I'm standing at the back door going, hey, guys, we got a lot of stuff creeping in the back here. Anybody want to come back here and help me here?
That is not enough to help working families.
That's why we not only have a dollars debate, we have a values debate. Still, I'm optimistic.
Nancy Pelosi is not being serious. If she becomes serious, then we can have a discussion here. But
with no deal in place, both United and American Airlines have started furloughs, a move they aim to reverse if aid comes through. American CEO Doug Parker telling employees, I am extremely sorry. It is not what you all deserve.
Hey, not in the statement was, maybe we shouldn't have spent all of our excess cash last year buying back our own stock. Nowhere in that statement does he say, oh, gosh, guys, sorry, we spent your salary so that we could boost our stock options packages. Was that wrong? I'm extremely sorry. It's not what you deserve. They're right. It's not what the employees deserve, but it is their management that put them in this boat. Well, that and the government in their overarching shutdown of the entire U.S. economy and their fear-mongering about flying on an airplane.
Today, the Airline Workers Union taking Washington to task.
Washington.
Workers lost their jobs today because the politicians who were elected to protect them failed to take action.
No, people are losing their jobs because the government took too much action and forced these ridiculous shutdowns and this ridiculous fear-mongering. During the pandemics of 1958, 1968, 69, it was actually one long pandemic. It was a mutated virus that started in the late 50s, went through varying stages, good years, bad years, and then crescendoed in like 1968, 69. This was a version of bird flu, I believe. I can't remember exactly the call signs of this thing, but people still flew. Some people stayed home. And you know what happened in those years? Some people died. I think in 1968 or 69, had 116,000 people that died. And that was probably before they started juicing the numbers. But that might have been actual deaths from the disease back then rather than deaths with the disease. See, now we don't have COVID. We don't have deaths from COVID. We have deaths with COVID. Guy had a heart attack with COVID, so we're going to say COVID killed him. So it is the government overreacting, doing too many things that is putting these people out of work, not the fact that they're not doing enough.
Now, employees like Tiana are hoping it's not too late.
I pray that Congress can come to a solution to help us out.
And other giants like Delta and South.
And that's just, again, I'm sorry for this woman. I'm a nice guy. I truly am. On an interpersonal level and to my fellow human beings, I'm a very nice and compassionate guy. But we are in a situation where you have American citizens that are brought to tears waiting on Congress to send them some more money, to send their businesses some more money, to pay their rent. All that socialism everybody is railing against. We got to elect Trump. This is the most important election in the history of mankind. If we don't, we're going socialist. I am looking at these reports, and you know what I see? I see a country that's already there, and nobody seems to be paying attention. I'll be right back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, only got a couple more minutes left in this hour, and then we're going to switch to some other topics. We're going to look at a couple foreign policy things. I mean, all of the news is about, Donald Trump and his contracting COVID. And the funny thing is, I mean, chances are good. I mean, he's got the best care in the world. Most of us believe that COVID is relatively easily treated, so it should be fine. Now, if he were to get really sick, now that would certainly be a story, but it is just kind of funny. It's the problem is we have just created this country over years and years and years against the wishes and the warnings of our founding fathers, where we live and die by what happens in Washington, D.C. now. Half of the population believes that Donald Trump is the cause of all of their problems, and the other half thinks he's the solution to all of their problems. Well, it's not 50-50. That's about 30-30, probably. Then there's another 35% who don't really care, don't really pay attention. Then there's the 5% of us out there who just look at it all and think everybody else is just borderline insane. So anyway, I think Trump, this COVID stuff, he could certainly use it to his advantage if he would put down the Twitter. I think a couple of weeks of giving the American people a bit of a rest, to be honest with you. Just a little bit of a rest. There is something called Trump fatigue. Now, I know a lot of people who listen to the show wallow in the Trump stuff. They love every tweet. They love every soundbite. They love every appearance. But the debate on Tuesday night was kind of a culmination of what I can just only consider. It's been an exhausting presidency. I think a nice pause to refresh, isn't that what the term is? A pause to refresh. You just pause for a couple of weeks, self-quarantine, tamp down, just stay off the Twitter. The problem is he's probably going to ramp up Twitter, sitting around with nothing to do. I mean, he'll still be working, but to get him out of the spotlight, maybe not talking quite so much. Maybe if he would put down the Twitter and just give everybody kind of a break for a couple of weeks, it would probably kind of be nice for people. Let the left go do what they do and show themselves for who they are for the next 2 weeks. That could do nothing but help Trump. Get Trump to not be the story, and let's focus on exactly. I mean, there are still riots going on up to and including today. Nancy Pelosi just introduced a $2.2 trillion new stimulus plan that is dead on arrival. Let the left continue to do what they do. Let Joe Biden take the headlines for a little while. Because the more Joe Biden does, the more exposed he is, the less oxygen that Trump sucks out of the room every time he opens his mouth. It's more time for Biden to show exactly what he is, which will not be attractive to the American people. This would be just a fantastic time. I think I'm on it. The pause to refresh. Donald Trump should stand back and stand ready, whatever the term he unfortunately used the other day about the Proud Boys. And we'll talk about that again later, too. I think this is time for him to stand down. Give everybody 2 weeks with no Donald Trump and come back in a different form. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday, so we got a couple of segments we finish every Friday show with to send out the week. First one is False Flag Friday, where I try to give people something that they just don't hear anywhere else ever, essentially. And that is the fact that your government lies to you. Every government lies to its people constantly. It's kind of funny to me when I watch things, a lot of particularly conservatives. I talk to a conservative audience. I could say the same thing to the left, but there aren't a lot of lefties listening to me right now. For conservatives, you will look at the Russiagate stuff, and I've got a clip on a little bit of that coming up in just a second from a Tucker Carlson interview that should shed some light on one of those swamp creatures that Trump allowed into his house. Swamp creatures are like vampires, and Trump invited a bunch of them inside. You know, they can't come in unless you invite them. Well, whew, Trump opened the door and said, "Hey, guys, hey, all you neocon warmongers, come on in." But when conservatives look at things like Russia hoax and all of these things, you realize that the intelligence agencies lied to you. You realize there's corruption at the FBI, at the DOJ. You look at Jake Clapper. James Clapper at the NSA. You can look at all those things and go, golly, these people lied to us. What a bunch of scumbags. But for some reason, conservatives can't make the very logical leap. When they hear about something with Iran, they immediately believe all of the intelligence agencies. They believe anything that comes out of the government's mouth because, well, they might lie about, you know, a coup against a sitting government, but they'd never lie to us about war. And this is Trump's people. Yeah, Obama's people were bad. Bush's people lied us into a war. Clinton wagged the dog several times, had the same warmongers. H.W. Bush lied about getting us into Kuwait with the dead babies thrown from the incubator story when they hired an actress to do that testimony in front of a hearing. So you can look at all these things and go, yeah, everybody else lied, but not Trump's people. Well, I'm going to show you what liars Trump's people are. And this is how we get lied into wars, because at least half of the population in this country always has their guard down. All you lefties out there, peace and love and anti-war and all that, until Obama came around and told you that it was cool to drone strike a bunch of schools in the Middle East. And you decided, oh, okay, well, if our guy's doing it, it's fine. But fascinating to me to watch more and more of lies be exposed at these upper levels and people not being able to make that very simple, it's not even a leap, it's just like a baby step over to say, oh, you know what? Maybe they're lying to us about Iran. Maybe they're lying to us about Yemen. Maybe they're lying to us about Syria. Maybe they're lying to us about Venezuela. Maybe they're lying to us about North Korea. Because I've spent the last couple of years every Friday in a segment showing you where they lied to you about Vietnam, and they lied to you about Iraq, and they lied to you. I mean, it's fascinating to me because I still see a lot of conservatives that are just really excited about a war with Iran. It was a great idea to assassinate their general. And I'm telling you, the war drums are beating. Right now, there are Israeli attacks going on in Syria right now. There are missile attacks or bombing attacks on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. The $600 million to $1 billion structure that we planted right in the middle of the sand in the middle of Iraq, the largest embassy in the world, I believe. And so there are actually a lot of things heating up. So let's get to this idea that these people in power lie to you constantly. And Trump's administration is no different, whether it is because of Donald Trump, if he's in on some of this stuff, or if he just happened to hire some of the worst people he could have possibly hired. I don't know which it is. I hope it's the latter. That's slightly better. But boy, has he hired some bad people, and a lot of people I've warned you about endlessly on this show. This is Tucker Carlson talking to Sean Davis. He's with The Federalist. And the first part of this clip, they're breaking down the whole Russia collusion stuff, and they're showing, you know, all kinds of news is breaking on this. I don't cover it on this show. You know why? Because I'm bored with it. Wake me up when somebody is in handcuffs. I can't do Sean Hannity's gig for him. Sean Hannity will cover the Russia collusion stuff and follow all the paths on who knew what and who was doing what and who was colluding with who, and nobody gets into any trouble. It is what I consider political theater. Wake me up when somebody's in an orange jumpsuit and they've got their hands shackled. Then I'll be interested. Until then, I'm not so much. Anyway, but Sean Davis, again, this is a guy with The Federalist on Tucker Carlson. He's going to bring up to you exactly the role that Trump's own CIA director has played in this thing. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is self-serving. I've been warning you about this woman since the day she was announced as the replacement for Mike Pompeo, who I continue to warn you about. And she's now our sitting CIA director, and she is a bad, bad player. She's a torturer, which does us no good. I know a lot of people get kind of excited about the idea of torturing some of these terrorists. I thought America was better than that, but the bottom line is it doesn't help anyway. It's not even effective. But anyway, they're going to talk a little bit here about Gina Haspel. They go through the stuff, and this clip picks up after they're talking about the fact that actually Hillary Clinton was colluding with the Russians to smear Trump.
So, I mean, it's just further evidence, as if we needed it, that whatever they're accusing you of doing is precisely to the letter what they are doing themselves. I mean, irony doesn't describe it.
You're exactly right. And it's even bigger than that. This isn't just a scandal about Democrat projection. This is a scandal about what was a coup planned against the incoming administration at the highest levels. And I can report here tonight that these declassifications that have come out, those weren't easy to get out. And there's, in fact, far more waiting to get out. Unfortunately, those releases and declassifications, according to multiple sources I've talked to, are being blocked by CIA Director Gina Haspel, who herself was the main link between Washington and London as the London station chief for John Brennan's CIA during the 2016 election. Recall it was London where Christopher Steele was doing all this work. And I'm told that it is Gina Haspel personally who's blocking a continued declassification of these documents that will show the American people the truth of what actually happened.
Why are we putting up with this? I mean, they're still holding
Because she's Trump's girl. See, this is why are we putting up with this? It's so cute. I mean, I asked that question too, but I'm starting to catch on because each side is so willing to be tricked. All of the scumbags, the Citigroup approved, not even approved, the Citigroup proposed cabinet went right into Barack Obama's administration, and the left just went, okay. And now you got a bunch of people on the right, conservatives, Trump supporters, who believe that every hire he makes is genius. He's draining the swamp. He's bringing down the deep state. That's why they get away from this, get away with this stuff, because each side stands down when their party's in control. And you have this faith. George W. Bush surrounded himself with warmongers to get us into these endless wars and defense contractors, just like Trump has, but everybody stood down and you took things like the Patriot Act because the fine American political dynasty of great Americans, the Bush family, certainly they'd never do anything to damage Americans. So Republicans, people that talk about love for the Constitution, stood down while he rolled out the Patriot Act and a bunch of other draconian things surrounding 9/11 and the war on terror scam. That's how they get away with this stuff. It is Gina Haspel right now playing the same games. This is Trump's girl.
Documents from the Kennedy assassination, the Warren Commission documents. We still don't know everything there. Why is that 55 years later, 7 years later? They're blocking the release of so many documents. Why doesn't somebody, anyone in power could do this, stand up and say, no, these are going public now?
That's a great question. I think one reason is that so many of the people blocking these documents are likely implicated by them. You have these career bureaucrats whose careers may be destroyed by the facts that are within them. And I think at this point, we need the president, Donald Trump, to step in and say, no more obstruction, no more blocking. We need transparency, and the American people need to hear the truth. And that means declassifying everything, letting everyone see everything about what happened, so we can decide for ourselves before we vote in this election who we actually want in charge of these agencies.
Never gonna happen. And again, Tucker makes a great point. We're still classifying. And this is Donald Trump. Donald Trump agreed to not declassify a bunch of JFK files for, air quotes here in the studio, national security. Yet you will trust these people when they tell you that we've decided on a new president for Venezuela. You'll get on board with that. That's right. We're taking down those dirty socialists down in Venezuela. And you will be on board with assassinating a general because your intelligence agencies and the warmongers who were involved in all this kinds of activity, because these warmongers told you he was plotting this or plotting that, when the facts on the ground are that that Iranian, I've got no love for the Iranian government, but that general was fighting ISIS. Your own federal government here, your own government under Barack Obama, was funding ISIS, training ISIS, providing ISIS with weapons and taxpayer paychecks. Taxpayer-funded paychecks. And yet you still listen to these people. when they tell you that we've got to take out an Iranian general. And Donald Trump's playing right along with them. When I come back, another pretty disgusting thing. This could also heat up, too. Nord Stream 2. How many Americans even know what Nord Stream 2 is? Yet they will cheer on another war, or the left in particular will talk about all this Russia hysteria, that Russia's this enemy, Russia's freak, you know, coming after us. They know nothing about Nord Stream 2. That's what all the Russia hysteria is about. It has nothing to do with them being aggressive or being militaristic or being dangerous. It's about them being a competitor. But the U.S. now, at the federal government level, at the deep state level, they no longer compete in the free market. They don't want to compete with another nation. They want to shut them down by threatening them with our military so that our companies can do the business, because our companies are the ones that donate to our politicians. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I can get pretty fired up about this stuff. American foreign policy is possibly the worst in the world, and it's a shame. It's a huge missed opportunity, because it doesn't have to be this way. There are war profiteers, and they use our system to get what they want. A lot of people view this stuff as some kind of anti-American. You're always criticizing America, but that's only now, right? If Joe Biden was in office and I was criticizing it, it would be patriotic. I would be fighting the good fight. Foreign policy under Donald Trump has not changed very much at all. I suspect these peace agreements in the Middle East are creating an alliance to take on Iran as soon as this election ends. And it doesn't even matter who wins, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. I believe some altercation, some aggressive action towards Iran. Oh, there'll be a reason for it. They'll tell you Iran lashed out. That'll be the term they use. They lashed out and did this or that. They were bombing our embassy is what they will say. They won't mention the fact that, well, it's kind of odd that we've got 5,000 troops planted in the middle of a country that's been asking us to leave for 5 years. They won't point that out. As I said, most of our troops in the Middle East right now, I think, are just bait to get the next war kicked off. But our foreign policy is a disaster, so I like to talk about it. Like I say, I get a little buoyed by callers, like the guy that called earlier today said I've got him to think about things a little bit differently, or at least consider some other points. A recent UN-sponsored report described Venezuela as having the fourth worst food crisis in the world, behind only war-ravaged Yemen, Afghanistan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. The report published in April by the Global Network Against Food Crises and the Food Security and Information Network said that 9.3 million people, about one-third of Venezuela's population, lacked enough safe and nutritious food for normal human growth and development last year. It found that 13% of Venezuelan children under the age of 5 are stunted and that 30% are anemic. And our government's had a large hand in this. Now, yes, they're a socialist country, and socialism fails everywhere. It's tried, and things like this happen. But it probably doesn't help the Venezuelan people that they're not allowed to trade their one giant commodity there, which is oil. And they're not allowed to import parts to fix even their oil infrastructure. Now, socialism fails on its own. But we've decided to put our boot on its neck. So some of the problems of malnourishment of children is at the hands of this Christian nation, the United States, this bright, shining beacon of democracy in the world. And we don't have to have a hand in it. They would collapse on their own, and they would probably think to themselves, hey, this government's not working. We need to change course. This tends to happen in socialist and communist countries if you live through the late 1980s, early 1990s. A lot of countries got rid of communism. But when you give them an external enemy like the U.S., who is trying to strangle Venezuela with sanctions, it gives the people someone else to focus on rather than their own leadership there, because the leadership there gets to point out, hey, we would be doing fine, except the U.S. won't let us trade oil. They've been seizing oil tankers. They won't allow parts to come in. They won't allow medicines to come in. They won't allow any country in the world to trade with us. They've put an embargo on our entire nation. It gives them an external enemy for the people to blame. and that is the U.S. I think it's incredibly sad that we sit by and continue to support people like Mike Pompeo, Marco Rubio, the other ones, Elliot Abrams, who Donald Trump has also hired, who was an architect of the Iraq War, an acolyte of John Bolton, who is still in the administration. He's been moved from being in charge of Venezuelan policy, which has gone so swimmingly well now that we've got some of their people starving to death. And now he's been moved to anyone? Can you guess where Elliot Abrams, the architect of the Iraq War, guess what he's in charge of now? Anyone? Iran. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Expect a little bit more saber rattling with the Russians and maybe some kind of event to take place, because this is getting dangerous now. The U.S. is based on the capitalist idea here in the United States that we used to be good at is based on the idea of competition. Rigorous yet friendly competition. That's what capitalism is about. We abandoned that and decided to use our foreign policy as a sword. Denmark cleared on Thursday the final hurdle to Nord Stream 2, potentially starting operations in Danish waters, while the U.S. continues to attempt to stop the Russian-led natural gas pipeline project. Now, I don't know if you've looked at a map. See, here's the thing. The United States wants our companies, who I'm sure donate heavily to politicians and bureaucrats who come out of office and go into lobbying groups and go to work for some of these energy firms. We want to provide all of the natural gas to Europe instead of the Russians. But if you look at a map, Russia's a little closer to Germany than the United States is. I know we are geographically challenged here in the United States with our education system, but when you get a minute, take out a globe or a map and take a look at it and see who does it make more sense to get a natural resource from? Maybe the country that's a couple hundred miles from you, as opposed to the nation that's 6,000 miles away from you. Anyway, this is a quote from Mike Pompeo. Quote, from the U.S. point of view, Nord Stream 2 endangers Europe because it makes it dependent on Russian gas and endangers Ukraine, which, in my opinion, worries many Germans. This is Pompeo told Germany's daily The Bild. In July, the United States warned companies helping Russia to complete Nord Stream 2 that they should get out now. That's a quote. Quote, get out now or face consequences. As the Trump administration steps up efforts to stop the construction of the controversial Russia-led pipeline to Europe. It's controversial. Now, if we send ships over or do any kind of pipelines, those don't seem to be so controversial, do they? When we overthrow a government in Ukraine, and we did that, it's not controversial. But Russia building a pipeline to provide a natural resource to another country who wants to buy it is somehow controversial in Mike Pompeo's estimation. In recent weeks, German Chancellor Angela Merkel has come under pressure from some of her coalition partners to drop the German support for Nord Stream 2 after the poisoning of Russian opposition leader and Putin critic Alexei Navalny. Now, I should have pulled up more of that. I may save that for next week. That story is another one of these poisoning stories that is very interesting. Have you noticed that these tremendous toxic nerve agents that the Russians use never seem to kill anybody? I mean, these things are supposed to be one of those things where you put one drop of it in a subway car and everybody drops dead immediately, yet somehow these guys survive after ingesting it directly. And for some reason, the Russians are so stupid that they go after their critics, or they go after these targets in the most visible way possible, in a big show of a public poisoning with pictures on stretchers and cries from the airplane like this Navalny guy had. Now, I don't know. The Russian government and Vladimir Putin are not above killing any of their adversaries. Neither are the leaders of England or Denmark or the U.S. or Mexico or Peru. Governments are evil. But the idea that the Russians always choose the most public way to really show off their attempted assassination of their critics is a little convenient, particularly in Germany, while Germany is set to open up this Nord Stream 2 pipeline and give the Russians access to all of this stuff. Look, these are resource altercations. They have nothing to do with American safety. They have nothing to do with security. These are money-driven things, and the pipelines are the biggest thing. Right now, we've got a big dust-up right now. Going into a full-fledged war between Armenia and Azerbaijan, I'm saying that right, and I read to you the other day, the honorary members of the Azerbaijan U.S. Chamber of Commerce, people like Dick Cheney, Richard Armitage, A bunch of neocons sit on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce with Azerbaijan. That's not by accident. It's not because they want to help a small, impoverished country get on its feet out of the goodness of their heart. The same way that Genie Energy, who has got rights on oil in the Golan Heights that Trump just somehow gave to Israel. He just took it from Syria and gave it to Israel. The board of directors for that company is also a who's who of neocons, including people like Dick Cheney, Bill Richardson. I can't remember one of the Rothschilds, I think, is even on that board. Anyway, when you see these things, I just am imploring people to be a little bit more suspicious, even of the Trump administration. Trump has filled his cabinet with warmongers and neocons, and we need to be on guard. I'll come back and do something a little bit more fun. We'll come back and take a look at this week on the Crazy Train. Be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It is the end of the week. Again, we're going to take a look back at this week on the crazy train. I mean, I'm telling you what, we are having some level of a mass mental breakdown in this country right now. I talked about it earlier this week. I think I've talked about it the last couple of weeks. I had a conversation with my friend the other day where we're just looking at headlines across the board and saying, what in the world is going on? We actually start this week. I'm almost breathless just during the commercial break of trying to get all of these clips together. I've got so much going on right now. It certainly is easy to get to a lot of different stuff when you're looking at insanity these days. But we actually had somebody who was drug off possibly to a paddy wagon and a mental evaluation starting off earlier in this week.
This police body cam showing the moment Fort Lauderdale PD arrive at the home of senior Trump campaign advisor Brad Parscale, who they find shirtless and sitting on his front step.
All right, relax.
But even though he doesn't appear to be armed and isn't being aggressive, other officers quickly rush in, tackling him to the ground.
To the ground, man.
Jesus. I didn't do anything.
The shocking body slam of the former Trump campaign manager coming after his wife called 911 for help.
He went away, and then I heard a loud boom.
Telling police Parscale was intoxicated and armed. According to the police report, Candace Parscale told officers her husband had suicidal thoughts over the past few weeks, police negotiating with him to cooperate.
Okay, all right, can you do us a favor? Can you walk out with no weapons? Can you come outside with no weapons, please?
Parscale was taken to a nearby hospital for a medical evaluation. The police report saying his wife had several bruises on her arms and scratches on her cheek and forehead. One officer saying she accused her husband of previously hitting her.
So there you go, Brad Parscale, one of the top guys in the presidential campaigns right now, taken down under mental health evaluation. I will tell you, though, regardless, I don't know if Brad Parscale is beating his wife or what he's going on. He's nowhere near as creepy as the Podestas were running the Hillary Clinton campaign. I got to tell you, at least Trump saved us from the Podestas having any level of control. News goes by so fast, it's funny. I clip a lot of these things during the week, and then I look at them on Fridays, and I go, was that this week? But it was just this week that the Trump tax returns came out. And I don't know if you got the media's impression of it, but they thought it was important.
Breaking
Breaking news, the bombshell report on President Trump's tax returns.
Bombshell. Breaking news, tax bombshell. The New York Times gets its hands on President Trump's taxes.
We have major breaking news this hour, a bombshell report from the New York Times.
On the eve of the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, a bombshell report in the New York Times.
You know, this has been one of the worst months for any president I can ever recall. Three big bombshells just in the last 3 weeks.
Somebody please get the mainstream media a thesaurus. Oh, my gosh. They have used. We definitely have set some records over the last 3.5, 4 years of the terms bombshell. This was the week of the debate. Somebody else, I hate to lift something from another radio show, but it was one of the most succinct things when you want to take just a good summary of what took place this week on the crazy train when it came to the debates.
He just admitted he shut it down. Wait a minute, Joe. Let me shut you down for a second, Joe, just for 1 second.
I'm not going to answer the question.
Why don't you answer that
because
question?
Because the question is, the question is,
Folks, absolutely
folks, do you have any idea what this bomb's doing? 14,000 for the session.
I just thought that was a little bit easier and a good summary of what took place on Tuesday night. Rather than playing a bunch of clips from it, everybody's already heard him anyway. I'm no fan of Jake Tapper, but I got to say he did nail it when he described what this debate was.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
I don't know. I got to say I'm kind of on board with him for that one particular statement from Jake Tapper. To add to the craziness of the debates, now everything's thrown into disarray now with Trump with his COVID diagnosis. There may not even be any more debates, but the moderator for the second debate, C-SPAN's Steve Scully, had interned in then-Senator Joe Biden's office when he was in college before going on to work full-time in the office of Ted Kennedy, another Democratic senator. Oh, my gosh. I got to tell you. Sometimes I feel sorry for Donald Trump. It's rare, but occasionally I do. Joe Biden was giving a speech the other day. poor Joe Biden. If he wasn't such a creepy, corrupt human being, I would feel sorry for him. But everything was going swimmingly during his statements the other day as he was giving one of his well-scripted press conferences until a train came around.
And here comes the train that he tried to make sure didn't continue to run. No, that's the commuter. All right. No, that's what. But folks, look.
Look, squirrel. I mean, I don't think you can put any flashing lights or anything in front of Joe Biden when you're easily distracted. This was an interesting one. Trump had a rally the other day and started talking about Ilhan Omar. She's been shown, and what's their name? Project Veritas went out and did some more good undercover work showing Ilhan Omar is probably involved in some level of voter fraud. We're all surprised, I'm sure. But Donald Trump talked about one of his campaign rallies. I won't play what he talked about with Ilhan Omar, but the crowd's reaction was kind of interesting to me. God love the Trump supporters. They have their faith springs eternal.
Congratulations. Now, and what about Omar where she gets caught harvesting?
Here it comes.
What the hell is going on? I hope your U.S. attorney is involved. What is going on with Omar? I've been reading these reports for 2 years about how corrupt and crooked she is. Let's get with it. Let's get with it. I mean, frankly,
they're cheering, lock her up. God love you out there. Just keep chanting it. One day it'll come true. Build the wall. Didn't work out so well. Drain the swamp chance. Not so much. Lock her up for Hillary Clinton. No. Maybe this time, if we chant really, really hard, maybe they'll lock up Ilhan Omar. I would not place much faith in that either. However, there was one chant where I felt a kindred spirit with one of the Trump campaign rallies. This is something he was talking the other day about therapeutics in response to COVID and the vaccine. And I love the chant from the crowd here.
Weekend.
No vaccine. That is no vaccine. No vaccine. No vaccine. That is a chant from the Trump crowd at one of his rallies earlier this week. I got to tell you, I'm on board with that one. All right, I got to take a quick break. I'm going to come back with some pretty funny clips. I might actually be, now there's a lot of people talking about Kamala Harris and her heritage. You know, she's being called the first African-American vice president, you know, all this stuff. And people say, well, she's not an African-American. She's not black. That may be true based on the clips I'm about to play you. As a matter of fact, I may actually be blacker than Kamala Harris. I'll show you what I mean when I come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment as we put this week in the books and we get back to this week on the crazy train. Before I do that, though, I want to remind everybody heading into the weekend, you're looking for something to do, you're looking somewhere to catch a game, you're just looking to take a date out or take the kids out somewhere great to eat, head out to Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. This is a fantastic business. We refer everybody we can to, and they're always happy that we did. I will be there. I don't know if I'll make it tonight. It'll probably be tomorrow, so tell them to get a they've got a new thing out that I'm dying to try, the Hot Honey Pepperoni Pizza, Marinara Pepperoni, Papadou Peppers, House Pickled Jalapenos, Feta, Mozzarella, and Fresh Basil, topped off with Mike's Hot Honey. This is exciting to me. So I will be trying something, one of their new menu items. I'm bad about going to restaurants and getting the same thing over and over. I've got a couple of favorites at Your Pie, but I'll be trying something new this weekend. They are, again, at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. They do have televisions for the games now, since we can't all go to the games like we used to, if you want to find a nice place to watch them. And this weekend, I love, they've got a little deck out to the side of this restaurant, and the weather is supposed to be absolutely beautiful, so it'd be a great time to go out and dine al fresco with some of the new Your Pie menu items. You can download their app and find out what kind of specials they got on and earn points when you go visit them. So just check out, go to the App Store and download the Your Pie app. You can also order online there and carry things out if you wanted to get something and take it home. This is a veteran-owned business. It's one of our favorites here at the station, so please check out Your Pie this weekend. All right, let's see. Yeah, lots being made out of the fact we've got a black woman for vice president. But I got to tell you, I think I may actually be blacker than Kamala Harris is. She tried to get her street cred up with that. This is actually a gaffe that she makes talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She was part of our culture. Yes, we wear those notorious B.I.G. t-shirts with a lot of pride.
I think that's a notorious R.B.G. That was the kind of the shtick that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had. So she tried to get a little bit of street cred, but then she ruined it when she went on the show. Again, like I said, I think I may actually be blacker than Kamala Harris.
And then best rapper alive,
Tupac.
He's not alive. You say he lives on.
But not alive. I know. I keep doing that.
You say, listen, West Coast girls think Tupac lives on. I'm with you. I'm with you. So Tupac, keep going.
I keep doing that.
Stalling.
What would I say?
Stalling.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, you know,
stalling.
It, There are some that I would not mention right now because they should stay in their lane. But others, I
don't know what that means. I want to know who one of those are.
Keep going. Keep moving.
Okay,
keep moving, Angela.
All right. I didn't. That was not supposed to be a stumper either.
You can't be the first black woman vice president and not be able to name a single living U.S. rapper. I know what Nas, Travis Scott, I learned about because isn't he the one they named a burger after at McDonald's that sold out in like 2 days? I know Ice-T, Ice Cube, kicking it old school because I'm an old guy. I could name you probably 25 rappers, and I'm not a big rap fan. I do like Eminem's voice. He's deplorable on his politics, but I like him. But Kamala Harris, she's really down with the community. She can't name a single live rat. She's got that Tupac reference, and that's about all she can do. Here's one from the crazy train. 70 years ago, a decorated veteran from World War II painted a mural on the campus of the University of Rhode Island to honor the fallen who lost their lives in the war. Students complained that the lack of diversity in the mural made them feel in the mural made them feel uncomfortable. There were too many white people depicted and not enough minorities. The university quickly bowed to the mob, covered up the painting, and plans to remove it entirely. A World War II memorial was too white. I got to get rid of it. All right, let's see what else we've got here. Oh, this is another... One of the peace and love Democrats came out the other day and did some art of their own.
While Molotov cocktail attacks against police officers surge in this region, one council member out of Snohomish County, she seemingly promoted more of it. Megan Dunn is a Democrat from Everett, and she posted on her personal Facebook page last week a stitching of a Molotov cocktail. And the text accompanying it read, "Be the light you want to see in the world." In her Facebook post, she said the stitching was, quote, a good reminder. A good reminder of what? Using Molotov cocktails? Joining me on the line is Sergeant.
a stitching. Now, I don't know what that is. That like, you know, like the old timey, like cross stitching? Did a stitching of a Molotov cocktail with "Be the light you want to be in the want to see in the world." This is your Democratic Party, to those of you still hanging on to it. This was an odd one. This one took place last night. I don't know. I didn't really know where else to put this. It might deserve actually some conversation maybe next week. But Trump said this last night on the Sean Hannity show that I was surprised about.
Did the 1994 crime bill. That's the super predator bill. So he did the super predator bill. And when you look at it, but Mark Levin is right. He's 100% right. No matter what you say, it won't make any difference. And I have to say, I've said it many times, and let me be clear again, I condemn the KKK. I condemn all white supremacists. I condemn the Proud Boys. I don't know much about the Proud Boys, almost nothing, but I condemn that.
What? So now Donald Trump has come out after telling them to stand back and stand ready, or whatever he said, I can't remember exactly, but now he has come out the last night on the Sean Hannity show, and he has condemned the Proud Boys, although he doesn't know anything about them. Bad move, Donald Trump. Don't condemn things you don't know anything about. Let's see. Oh, this was kind of interesting and a little bit hard to hear. I guess this is a good follow-up, the way I've got these staggered here with Trump having a COVID diagnosis. But they got a couple of Democrats got caught on a hot mic. And see if you can hear what they call masks.
Oh, no. So, Wendy, I'm going to take my mask off when I speak.
I'm waiting so that we can do a little political theater. It's really, really hard to hear, but a couple of Democrats talking about, well, I'm going to take my mask off, and essentially she says, oh, it's all just political theater anyway. So James Comey testified this week, ground-shattering things. You know, of course, James Comey took responsibility for everything that had taken place under his watch.
Did Mr. Page deny knowing people that you accused him of having contact with?
I don't remember. That's about all I recall. I don't remember. I don't remember learning anything additional about Steele's sources. Not that I recall, no. I don't remember Bruce Orr ever briefing me. I don't recall that.
So do you recall?
I do not.
Do you recall?
I do not. I don't remember any discussion. I don't remember using that word, but I don't remember using that word. I don't remember ever being informed. I don't recall being informed of that.
Did you ask any questions or do any due diligence on this at all?
I don't remember anything about the facts that have been revealed recently about the subsource. I don't remember the exact words, but something similar.
That doesn't ring bells with me.
Okay.
Doesn't ring a bell. Poor James Comey. I got to tell you, he seems like a young man, but apparently is suffering from early onset dementia. cannot remember much of anything. Oh, let's see. A British man, this is this week on the crazy train, an inmate, British inmate incarcerated in the UK recently escaped. Apparently, he was worried about his mother and wanted to visit her. But once the visit was over, he was ready to go back to prison and serve out the remainder of his sentence. So he went down to the local police station to turn himself in, but they refused to arrest him. It appeared there was no outstanding warrant for his arrest. It took 7 tries before this escaped convict was able to successfully turn himself in to police. Back here on our shores, this week on the crazy train, education is leading the charge in some of the weirdest, most bizarre, most ridiculous things. NOLA.com reported that Ka Maury was suspended for 6 days after his teacher spotted a BB gun in his bedroom. He was taking a virtual class on September 11th when his younger brother came busting into the room and tripped over the BB gun. Ka Maury was taking an English test, so he quickly grabbed the BB gun and placed it by his side and continued the test. When the teacher called him out, Ka Maury did not answer because his sound was muted during the test. As a result, he was suspended for having a gun, quote, in school, unquote. Oh, my gosh. What is happening to our country? What is happening to our country? I don't know if you saw footage of this. I wish there's a slight video of it. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot entered a news press conference the other day dressed up as a Corona destroyer to announce the city's Halloween guidelines. You definitely want to check that out if you can get an image of that. One of it got to be maybe the worst mayor in the country right now, this Lightfoot woman in Chicago. The violence notwithstanding, she's absolutely an idiot. And to finish up, this was a guy, I remember watching him on the floors of the U.S. Stock Exchange when Twitter went public. He is a super rich tech genius, Dick Costello. He sent out a tweet the other day, "Me first capitalists who think they can separate society from business are going to be the first people lined up against the wall and shot in the revolution. I'll happily provide video commentary." This is one of the founders of Twitter talking about the corporations that are not woke will be the first ones lined up and shot on the wall. I do not think he's had his Twitter account suspended. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic weekend. See you Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.